This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, Paying the Price of Struggle for Victory. The last of the original Freedom Riders passed away. The obituary in the New York Times told the dramatic, violent story of the price Charles Person, his comrades, and many others were prepared to pay to fundamentally achieve social and racial change in America. Life teaches lessons, and Pearson's life teaches lessons that is worth all of us remembering in a time when some talk more about building a brand than doing the hard work to make change happen. I can't help but share this. Charles Person, the youngest of the 13 original Freedom Riders who traveled from Washington to Birmingham, Alabama in 1961 in an effort to integrate interstate bus terminals across the South, and who was nearly beaten to death for doing so, died on Wednesday at his home in Fayetteville, Georgia. He was 82. Person was an 18-year-old freshman at Morehouse College in Atlanta when he first became involved in the civil rights movement, joining the thousands of students across the South who were marching against Jim Crow laws and sitting in at segregated lunch counters. His first arrest during a sit-in at an Atlanta restaurant was in February 1961. When he returned to campus, he saw an ad from the Congress of Racial Equality looking for volunteers for a trip by commercial bus from Washington to New Orleans. Along the way, the ad said they would test a recent Supreme Court decision banning segregation in bus terminals that served interstate travelers. Because of his age, Mr. Person had to obtain his father's permission to apply. His mother flatly refused. He was accepted, and after training in nonviolent techniques, he and others, six other black riders, including the future Congressman John Lewis and six white ones, left from Washington's Greyhound Station aboard two buses. Mr. Person was paired with an older white rider, James Peck. Their job was to enter the terminals so Mr. Person could try to use the white restroom while Mr. Peck entered the black restroom. Then they would order food at the designated white and black lunch counters. Their first test in Fredericksburg, Virginia, was uneventful, save for a few ugly stares from white people in the depot. But in Charlotte, North Carolina, Mr. Person was almost arrested when he tried to have his shoes shined in a white part of the terminal. Things became tense in Atlanta, the last major stop before Alabama. Several white men boarded and sat among the black riders who, against custom in the Jim Crow South, were seated throughout the bus instead of in the back. The next stop was Anniston, a small town in eastern Alabama. The station was closed, but the driver stopped anyway. Another bus had been firebombed outside town, he said. If they wanted to proceed, the black riders would have to move to the back. When they refused, he left the bus. The white men who'd boarded in Atlanta, members of the Ku Klux Klan, then viciously attacked the riders. Both Mr. Person and Mr. Peck were knocked unconscious before being dragged to the rear. They threw us to the back of the bus, Mr. Person said in a 2021 interview on the podcast Book Dreams. One eyewitness said they stacked us like pancakes. With racial hierarchy restored, the bus proceeded to Birmingham. It was Sunday, May 14th, Mother's Day. A crowd of white people, including scores of Klansmen, awaited the riders. They left the bus and gathered their bags. Mr. Peck and Mr. Person were supposed to be the first to enter the terminal. Mr. Peck, looking at Mr. Person's bloodied face and shirt, hesitated, but Mr. Person said, "Let's go." At first, the crowd inside the station thought Person had assaulted Peck. When Mr. Peck said the two of them were friends, several men pulled him into a hallway and began beating him with a pipe. Someone grabbed Mr. Person too, but after a few minutes, he was able to break away. By then, the station was engulfed in violence, with Klansmen setting upon riders with abandon. Mr. Person managed to catch a city bus, then made his way to the home of the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, a leading figure in the city's civil rights community. Over the next few hours, more Freedom Riders, including Peck, made it to Mr. Shuttlesworth's home. Most doctors did not want to treat them for fear of retribution, but they eventually found medical care. They struggled to find another bus willing to take them to New Orleans. They finally boarded a plane. After a few days of speeches and meetings, Mr. Person flew back to Atlanta. The first Freedom Ride was over, but others had already begun. Some 400 people had joined the campaign in total, many of them facing beatings in prison along the way. But it worked. On May 29th, President John F. Kennedy's administration ordered the desegregation of all interstate bus terminals. In times that demand the courage to make change, how many are ready and willing to fill these shoes? This is Wade Rathke for questions or comments. www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.